The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Extra Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. On today's Business Bunker Extra Show, it's an absolute pleasure to be joined by Rebecca Tucker of White Calm Wellbeing. Rebecca, good afternoon. Welcome to the Extra Show. Thank you for joining us.
Good afternoon, Paul. Thank you for inviting me on.
It's an absolute pleasure to see you. Why don't we kick off by you telling us, first of all, a little bit about Rebecca.
Of course, yeah. I'm a scientist in my heart. Right. So I went to uni and I did a science degree. I came out and did a lot of teaching of children of all sorts of ages. Mm. And then I set up a business in my sort of early 40s, I guess, which was very focused around health and well-being. Okay. And I wanted to make a difference to people and what their lives entailed in terms of their health. Unfortunately, I got diagnosed with stage 3 bowel cancer in 2019.
Oh, wow.
So I went through a horrendous journey, radiotherapy, chemotherapy and operations. So I completely understand what it's like to be a cancer patient. And so a lot of the work that I'm doing is now as prevention. Okay. For us to get chronic disease. So that's what White Calm is all about.
Okay. That's an interesting story. Can I take you back to the beginning of that? When you qualified in science, was there a particular branch of science that was your speciality?
Yes, biology. I love the human body. Yeah, right. Love the human body. It fascinates me. Always has done and always will. So yeah, I just love it. And I love all the science around it, the facts. And, I love listening to sort of programs on the TV that are around that aspect.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because biology and those kind of sciences are something, the whole STEM thing is something that we try to encourage in society. And it's increasingly difficult to get people to study those kind of STEM subjects.
I think it's difficult from a few different perspectives. I think obviously in school, it's a core part of the curriculum. So from that respect, it's very kind of, it's needed, and it's, students actually follow it as part of their study course in school anyway. But I think as you get higher and higher up, especially in physics and chemistry, it's still very seen as a male dominated area, although that is changing. And I think when I taught physics and chemistry as well, I always encouraged the girls to sort of take part, because I think it's they can be hugely successful in that area. And I know a lot of women engineers now, and medics and pharmacists. A lot of my friends are pharmacists, so I think there's more women coming into the scientific community, and they have a huge contribution to make to it.
You're absolutely right about all the things that you said there. And if I may ask, you mentioned you'd had an illness and you'd gone through all of these issues in dealing with that. How are you now?
I'm all clear. So it was literally just before lockdown happened.
Right.
My oncologist actually stopped me having my last chemotherapy treatment because he said, if the treatment doesn't kill you, COVID will. Very happy. but, I was determined to get through it. And it's very tough, and you can't really explain the exhaustion that you feel when you're going through it. And I'm sure there's lots of people out there that would resonate with that. So I used to speak to other people who had cancer because I found it very therapeutic actually talking to people that were going through the same thing that could understand how I was feeling. Right. But yeah, the nausea, the tiredness, it's the toughest thing I've done.
Okay. I can imagine. I say I can imagine, but, I just have empathy for you. It sounds horrendous. And I know from talking to other people that have been through similar things, how tiring and stressful and everything else is. Absolutely. Well, I'm glad to hear that you're feeling much better nowadays, and that's good news.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah.
So let's now talk about White Calm Wellbeing. Remind me again when you founded the company.
So we founded it in 2018, and we had set up White Calm Wellbeing Days, as we called them, and they were our signature kind of days that we used to run in 4 and 5 star hotels around London. We focused on London purely because I live in Essex, and we were kind of creating these for stressed out, burnt out people. They were doing really well, and then we were going to go throughout the UK with them. We were being rated in Time Out as number one for these sorts of days in the UK, which was a great achievement in such a short space of time.
Sure.
Unfortunately, then I got diagnosed. So the business was bumbling along, but I couldn't do much with it because I was so exhausted and ill. And then COVID hit the business, so we've had to pivot everything. And actually, while I was ill as well, I actually developed what is now Whitecon Virtual, our online platform.
Right.
And a lot of what I was struggling with during my treatment and cancer journey and afterwards, and in fact before I got diagnosed, would have been incredibly useful. So what we've set up now is a virtual online platform which has 5 studios in which we have on-demand content, live sessions, you can interact with the instructors, loads and loads of different aspects. But my kind of focus and ethos behind what we're trying to do is it's a 360 degree platform. It's a complete solution. So, you know, I don't believe that you should just be doing physical exercise or just focusing on meditation for mental well-being or looking at just solely eating. I think the whole thing is just a big combination of every aspect of your life. So, you know, if your relationships aren't going well, your mental well-being suffers. If you're addicted to alcohol or your phone, for example, your mental health suffers. If you are financially not doing great, then your sleep suffers and then eventually your mental health suffers. If you're not physically active and you're not moving enough, then obviously that impacts your movement, your posture. It could even impact your back if you're sitting at a desk all day. You know, if you're talking about your gut health, it's everything is related within health and well-being. And, you know, we shouldn't be segregating it. We should be looking at it from a whole person perspective.
Absolutely. I think that message counts for life in general, doesn't it? Everything's connected to everything else. Nothing happens in isolation. It's all a web of activities and cause and effects and knock-ons and things like that. Just for what it's worth, I'm a bit of a fan of early medieval history. Anglo-Saxons and Vikings, and the Anglo-Saxons have a concept called weird, which is where our modern word weird comes from. It actually means fate, and their concept is that there's a web being woven by the three Norns, as it happens. Familiar with Shakespeare?
Macbeth, I know.
Macbeth, yeah. So the three witches in Macbeth represent the past, the present, and the future. And they weave the web of weird. But what it is a whole series of cause and effects. So basically, anything you throw out in one direction has a ramification somewhere over on the web somewhere else.
And absolutely.
So it's exactly the same concept, isn't it? That it's an integrated, systematic whole that is affected by everything in subtle ways.
Yeah, we're a huge ecosystem, whether it's to do with ourselves, which we're a mini ecosystem in our own right.
Yeah.
We interact with other people and then we interact with the world in general.
Yeah.
So, you know, the whole ethos of Whitecom is that, you know, if you're looking after your environment and yourself, then you're kind of interacting with both. And if one is off balance, then the whole thing starts to kind of implode. So, you know, ours is about balance and it's very difficult to keep balance in your life, you know. As much as you try, you're always throwing curveballs. I mean, I didn't expect for 1 minute that I would be throwing that curveball in my 40s. So it's about trying to keep everything in balance the best you can and not, you know, being too hard on yourself. So, you know, if one day you wake up and you think, oh, yeah, I fancy a chocolate bar, you're not going to, you know, have a downer on yourself for the rest of the day just because you've eaten a chocolate bar or you've had a drink.
Yeah, the trouble is I wake up every day and think that. especially while we've been stuck at home for 14, 15 months.
Absolutely,
There's two aspects I want to cover here, if I may, Rebecca. First and foremost, as a business show, we're always interested in people's business journey. And you launched a company and then the world imploded. I'm not blaming you. I run a number of companies myself. And one of the things I found, bizarrely, is that those companies that launch in times of distress, I've been through a load, you know, from the financial meltdown, the dot-com bubble burst and all kinds of things. Companies that launch during those times of distress tend to survive best as businesses because they launch under really, really difficult circumstances. So when those circumstances ease, business becomes a breeze, you know, it's much easier. And you, blimey, you, I mean, you just had everything in one go, didn't you? I mean, you know, personal illness, a global pandemic, trying to start a business. Well, you know, it's tough, isn't it?
Actually, it is. But on the flip side of that, I've actually seen it as a massive advantage because, you know, I was hugely passionate about what I was doing anyway, but then becoming ill actually made it far more important for me to get the message out there. And then the global pandemic just pushed me into creating a platform that now is globally scalable. I wouldn't have had that before. So in actual fact, huge amounts of positive have come out of two very negative situations. And I've had COVID myself, which I was hugely concerned about because my immune system was shot after the chemotherapy. Mm. And everyone was panicking, thinking, oh my gosh, if Rebecca gets it, she's going to, you know, be seriously, seriously ill. But, you know, I built my immune system back through everything that I was doing via the platform. And I survived COVID. And, you know, I'm hugely grateful to all the instructors that we've got on there that would help me through that. So, you know, I'm very lucky.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're probably the greatest testimonial for your own business as well.
Absolutely. I wouldn't be promoting it if I didn't believe what I was doing.
Of course. But, you know, without being funny, we wouldn't wish you to have to go through all of that just to prove it.
No, of course not.
I want to talk now about wellness and things like that. And I'm gonna make a couple of statements, and you know, these are just my opinions, and I just want to get your thoughts and feelings on it as well. I find it quite incredible the levels of stress that we have in society in general at the moment. And one of the things, and this is hitting me particularly at the moment, I'll explain in a minute. For 50 years, I've worked in technology. And technology has always been touted as a great savior of humans. It's going to make our lives easier and all the rest of it. I really do believe that a lot of technology is making it worse, not better, and making life stressful. Because when technology goes wrong, it's an absolute nightmare. Mm. And so for me, the reason I'm saying that is I've had a massive problem over the last 6 weeks caused by technology. And I mean, basically, all my bank accounts have been hacked. But because everything we were talking about with technology, everything's interlinked, and you can't get into it and speak to a human anywhere, and you know it drives you bonkers, and therefore when it goes wrong, I think the levels of stress go through the roof because you can't turn to a person, you know, even if an organization has a customer center, you know, call center, it takes you an hour to get through. You speak to someone for 10 minutes, go away, and then you have to go through the whole thing all over again with somebody completely different. So what I'm asking you is how you perceive in general the levels of stress in society at the moment, both due to the pandemic and then more generally outside of that.
I totally agree with you. I think technology has a massive impact in our lives. And I think everybody perceives stress in a different way. So some people will perceive certain aspects of their life as very stressful, whereas somebody else may not see it like that. So I think it is an objective kind of view of the world and what stresses you out, particularly personally as a person. So I think when people say they're stressed, you know, I do actually wonder how many people are actually stressed, or if it's just a thing that people say because they don't know how to explain their feelings.
Sure.
Not saying that they don't feel it, there are huge differences in perception.
I think that's a really important point. It's a really important point because I throw the word stress around all the time. I'm stressed. What I actually mean is I'm angry, I'm annoyed, I've got
too much to do.
Yeah, I've been deflected from doing something I want to do into something I don't want to do. And, you know, so is it stress? I mean, I suppose at a level it's psychologically annoying is the best way of putting it.
Yeah.
Have you got a definition, though, of what you think real stress is?
I think for me, from a personal point of view, I think it's when I feel overwhelmed. Mm. If I have too many things that are going on in my head, that I can't sort, and you know, they're problems that I can't actually solve. I find that situation quite stressful.
So for me,
it's that. But for other people, it may be that, you know, there are certain things that are going on in their lives that are quite stressful. And I think it's, you know, you can divide it up into personal and business stress as well. So there's certain stress that I have in my business but I kind of separate that out. So I'm quite good at putting things in boxes. So I separate that out, and I think, you know, and one of the things that I've always taught my children is, if you can control something, then try and deal with it and sort it out. If you can't control it, there is absolutely no point getting stressed or worrying about it, because it's out of your control. And I've always stuck to that. And so every time I come up against a problem, I always think to myself, is this something that I can sort?
Yeah.
If it's not, I let it go. And it's difficult sometimes, because to let something go, you really have to just kind of accept that it's not under your influence. And that can be sort of quite hard to do, especially if you know in a sort of position in a company like I am, where I'm in control of everything. And then you've got the personal side. So, you know, sort of sorting out your family or your, you know, helping your partner do something, you know, there could be numerous things there that may be causing stress. We have lots of children between us, and they're all in their 20s, and they've all got stress at the moment. So you take on their stress as well.
Oh yeah.
It's a very difficult time, and I think everybody, as I say, everybody perceives it in a different way. I do think technology does help, though, and I think we're very fortunate that we have technology to help us. But the net result of that, because we have the technology there, we're almost busier than we were without the technology.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was explaining to the children the other day, and they range from sort of 20 up to 28. But in my day, you know, if I went to university, I couldn't just jump on a mobile phone and call my parents if there was a problem. I had to sort it out myself. And so it made me more resilient, I think.
Yeah.
Because there was that element, well, you're on your own, you need to sort it out. Whereas now they can just jump on the phone, you know, and all the social media influence that they're under. You know, I mean, I don't know about you, but in my generation, I don't really spend too much time on social media. I find it annoying, if anything, this constant pinging on my phone. So I avoid it at all costs, whereas the 20-year-olds in our house all go on it. They're all scrolling.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, has a huge impact on their mental well-being, because they're always looking, comparing themselves to other people. So there are upsides and downsides, I think. You know, it depends. I mean, we couldn't have done without technology within the global pandemic. We couldn't have continued our businesses without technology. You know, our medical advances are all technology. So, a vast majority are. So, you know, we're hugely fortunate, but we have to monitor how technology influences us personally, I think, and try not to let it overtake our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing that you said that I kind of lighted on up front, and I think you're absolutely right, is this feeling of being in control. And that, for me, that's everything. I used to be a management trainer, and I would tell managers and leaders repeatedly, your staff will be upset to the degree they don't feel a control of what they're doing. If you keep imposing things on them and they don't understand and they can't control it, then they're going to not perform very well. So I think you're absolutely right. It's feeling in control. And you're also right, moving forward, obviously technology has been a massive benefit in all kinds of ways, but it also creates issues because you can use technology. And I love what you said about kids. My kids are 37 and 26 and 9. Okay. And when I was a kid, because I'm old, mobile phone, there was no communication at all. On summer holidays from schools, when I was 12 or 13, I'd go out in July and come back in September. And my mum would go, where you been? We were camping or something, Now, even my 37-year-old, I check with him almost every day. All right, mate, how you doing? How's it going? How's my baby? Yeah. I've got a three-year-old grandson. How's my baby? How's it going? You know, you couldn't have done that before anyway. But now, if he's not there, if he doesn't answer, I go, oh, blimey, I hope it's all right.
Yeah, and, exactly.
And you spend time worrying because he didn't answer. And then eventually he answers and he goes, I was working on the roof. Leave me alone.
Exactly. And I think it takes away personal communication with, you know, face-to-face communication, because you get all the information you need over Zoom, over the mobile phone. through all the social networks that you, so you know half of what your friends are doing anyway, so there's no need to contact them half the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's a shame because the social interaction has lessened because of it. And, you know, the times that the children will sit around the dinner table and you know, once they've finished eating, they're straight on their phones. And you think, well, I'd actually like to quite talk to you, you know, and not sit watching you the back of your head or the top of your head while you're on your phone.
Yeah.
But I think it's a situation that, you know, has to be controlled to a certain degree. So we've said to them, no phones at the table. But, you know, when they get to a certain age, it's very difficult to tell them what to do all the time, you know.
Yeah, when they're twice the size of you and they just look down at you. Yeah. No, absolutely. And, of course, I guess we have to recognize there was a debate going. I am actually a big user of social media. But there was a big debate going on yesterday on Twitter about mobile phones in the classroom.
Mm.
And one of my takes on it is I do a lot of work in schools as well. I do a schools careers program. But one of my takes on it is we live in the 21st century and smartphones, tablets and computers are an integral part of young people's lives. And if we try to minimize that too much, they're not going to cope when they come out into the world, because the world is about technology. And as they grow, you know, over the next 10 years or so, you've seen nothing so far with technology, with advances in artificial intelligence and the Internet of Things and all kinds of virtual reality. Technology is going to continue to grow and invade parts of our life. So, you know, there's a balance, as there all is with all things, that says, okay, you know, you've got to have some kind of control over what you're using, but to abandon it altogether isn't a pretty good answer either. So it's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I used to teach both in primary and secondary school, so my view is slightly different from that, in the sense that teachers have such a difficult job to do. And if you have, you know, you've got 30 children in front of you, all at different abilities, which you have to cater for within the classroom, and trying to manage that plus technology. You know, if you've got children with mobile phones, you can bet your bottom dollar they're going to go onto WhatsApp, onto social media when they should be doing other things. That's just children. So I think providing there, you know, there could be a time within that lesson that is specifically for the technology and the teacher's not trying to do anything else, then I can see that it's a good support. But I do think that it's a huge distraction as well. And I do feel sorry for teachers. I mean, I feel sorry for the NHS, but I feel sorry for teachers as well. Having been in the boat myself, I mean, that is stress. That is a very stressful job. So, you know, dealing with teenagers all at different levels, you know, all on technology themselves. They probably know more about the technology than you do. And all the nuances of it and how to get around certain things. So I, you know, my feelings are still a little bit mixed on it. I mean, definitely iPads are useful. I've used those in the classroom, and I've used desktops when we've done IT lessons. But mobile phones, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how much we should be allowing that.
I fully understand what you're saying. You know, again, it's what you're using the technology for. If you're just playing on TikTok, then that isn't very useful. The thing is that everything's being driven to the mobile platform. I don't know about you. You know, I just mentioned my bank earlier. My bank are now saying, "Oh, don't use your desktop application. Only ever use internet banking via your phone." You know, for security, because you've got face recognition and stuff like that. But I get exactly what you're saying. It's like anything, isn't it? We can teach kids to read. If they're reading rubbish, that's not very good. If they're reading, you know, Shakespeare or some kind of classic, then that's a bit better. Okay. I want to talk now about the range of things that White Calm do. You've mentioned how you've pivoted that great 2020-21 word. You've pivoted towards an online platform for obvious reasons, and I'm assuming that will stay no matter what, that you'll have hybrid events, because that
100%
that makes sense. And as you say, it's actually one of the benefits of the pandemic, funnily enough, is that the radio show is sponsored by the Federation of Small Business, and the FSB did a survey before the pandemic and found that the uptake of digital in small businesses was very low. Of course, one of the things the pandemic has driven is a bigger uptake in digital. And by digital, I mean selling online, e-commerce shops, virtual meetings, virtual seminars and things like that. People like yourself have invested in the technology to do that because you've had to, because we couldn't meet physically. And having made that investment and made it work, I'm sure you're going to continue to use it from now on in a kind of hybrid fashion. So partly online and partly physically meeting.
Mm-hmm.
What I'd like to explore now, though, Rebecca, is the range of things you do and your typical kind of client and what they would come to you for, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, of course. So we, you know, I think it's a hugely exciting time. And I think what we've built is a good piece of kit, and the content that we provide is hugely useful. And we're very B2B focused. So we do have clients, individuals that come on, but we're very focused on business and helping business and their employees. So we did a survey when we first set it up about people's pain points. And they were the usual kind of, you know, I want to lose weight, I'm not sleeping properly, I'm stressed, I'm anxious, I need help in sort of my relationships or my finances. So we built a platform that was all encompassing, 360 degrees. So we have five studios covering gut health, mental health, sleep, self-care and movement. In our movement studio, we have things like fitness, Pilates, yoga.
Right.
And we kind of put programs together. So we have some programs that are to do with fitness for sports, particularly. So football, rugby, skiing, things like that. So people who want to get fit for those. We're just going to introduce the Couch to 5K that's popular. So people getting ready for that. So that fitness program. We have loads of different classes. We have multitude of different classes, ranging from weight loss classes right through to sort of building up muscle and things like that. Some of them are weight based, some of them you don't need any equipment for.
Right.
Then we have in the mental health studio, we have loads of audio meditations. We have meditations, body scans, helping you get over anger, helping you get over anxiety, helping you with depression. So, you know, anybody with sort of a mental health issue can come on and sort of start to work through the content. We also have a mental health first aid button that you can get in contact immediately with people that are mentally health first trained, and they can assess you and then refer you on to people that we have that are qualified to help with mental health first aid conditions. So that's a huge support system that we're finding that people are using more and more, especially if they want it more confidential and they don't want to go to their employer. We then have a gut health studio, which is focused on improving gut health, improving immunity, and helping people with, you know, generally what they're eating. Because I think lots of people are not aware of the sorts of foods that they need to be putting in their diet.
Sure.
I particularly enjoy watching Michael Mosley, Dr. Michael Mosley on the TV. And he does this great 21-day body challenge. And these guys are all taught how to eat better. You know, the usual, up your protein, increase your fruit and vegetables, probiotics, things like that in your diet. Then we've got this sleep studio, which covers helping you get to sleep, helping you stay asleep, what to do if you wake up and you need to get back to sleep at night. So again, lots of soundscapes and audios in there. We've also got a sleep expert that talks about how to use essential oils and sleep. And then we have a self-care studio, which covers financial health or well-being. We've got a holistic dentist in there. We've got a hair and skin expert.
Wow.
We have a relationship coach, and we also have behavior coach. So he helps with addictions, from phone addictions, talking about technology, right through to alcohol, cigarettes, and even porn addiction. So there's lots and lots on the platform to help people and support people. We have a live schedule, so you can join in live sessions and interact with the instructors, or you can access it on demand 24 hours a day anywhere in the world. You can take it on holiday with you. It's also app-based, so you can put it on smart TVs, on your desktop, on your laptop, have it on your phone. We've also got community at the back end of the app, so a lot of the companies are actually now interacting and setting up their own chat rooms for their companies to talk to their employees, and we're finding that throughout the pandemic, that's quite a good way of interacting. And they set challenges for each other and say, okay, this week we're going to, you know, try and lose 2 pounds in weight, or we're going to do 10,000 steps. And, you know, we've got articles that support all of that on the platform as well, in the form of blogs. So they're all written in conjunction with our our team and our editor. So yeah, we have a huge number of companies on there that are interacting in the communities, that are taking part in the sessions, and we have a survey that people can do before they come on, which covers all of that, all those areas. They get a score at the end of it telling them where they need to focus to start with. And we've just done a mental health survey that's just about to go live on the platform as well. So if people have got a mental health issue, they can come on and answer those questions. Huge amounts of content and very, very reasonably priced as well.
No, it's fantastic. I mean, massively comprehensive. Basically, you can do anything on there.
Yeah, exactly.
And as you say, you need all of that because it's interconnected. Rebecca, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Give us a shout for your website so people can actually come and have a look.
Sure, it's whitecalmvirtual.com. And if people want to contact me too, I'm more than happy to have a chat with anybody. It's rebecca.tucker@whitecalmwellbeing.com.
Fantastic. We will put a link to the website on the radio website so that people can find it. But for the moment, Rebecca Tucker, White Calm Wellbeing, thank you so much for joining us on the Bunker Extra Show.
Thank you very much, Paul.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.